The Express.
Welcome to the Express podcast. We have a very special guest today. She's a World Cup winner, a professional soccer player for the Chicago Red Stars, and well accomplished in her sport and life. She also happens to be my wife and best friend, Mrs. Mallory Pugh Swanson. On this episode, we discuss the challenges she has faced throughout 2023, how we met, and how God is using her for his kingdom. We hope you enjoy this one because we had a ton of fun. She doesn't need any introduction.
We can boost her, though. My wife. Boost her real quick.
My best friend.
Stud. Yeah.
Go. Women's national team player. Soccer player. World Cup winner.
Champion.
Chicago Red Star.
Star.
Champ.
Star. Mm-hmm.
Champ. Hailing out of Highlands Ranch, Colorado.
Champ.
Yeah, you're a champ.
You're just a champion. In life, in soccer.
None other than Mrs. Mallory Pugh Swanson. Official name change, by the way. Yeah. Yeah.
We're official.
Official name change.
Okay.
Official name change.
Yeah.
Welcome. What's up, Mal?
Welcome.
Hi. So let's get right to
it. Don't get shy now.
Yeah.
I am going to get so shy. I told you.
Where do we want to start with young Mallory?
Let's just jump right into last year.
Oof. Okay. Yeah. Get right into it. Let's talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about 2023.
Well, 2023 started off really good. Yeah, really good.
In all phases of life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Well, kind of.
Well, I mean, yeah, we were married.
Yeah.
So.
That was
go back.
I thought
now.
That's why she was. I thought that's why she was saying it was a bad year. On that one. I thought she was saying that was bad.
I kind of like start when we were like from when we got married
mm-hmm.
to.
Which was what, December?
December 10th. Oh yeah, 10th.
On the dot.
December 10th,
mm-hmm.
And then literally 24 hours later, Pops passed away.
Mm-hmm. My grandfather. For those who don't know, yeah.
Which was
really hard.
Very hard, and then. We went on our honeymoon and that
free agency.
We were dealing with the free agency
mm-hmm.
process. And then that kind of got settled out, figured things out. And then boom, 2023 happens.
Well, I mean, you can even go right when we got back from the honeymoon.
Yeah.
I repacked a bag.
Yeah.
And went up to Chicago.
Oh, you
to
do the press conference. There.
I'm just saying, like,
yeah.
It was just like as soon crazy. As we got married, it was just like
on go.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was like as soon as we got married, it was like I felt like God was just like testing us,
mm-hmm.
our marriage a lot. I had to come back here. Dansby had to like come back home, pack a bag, and then go back to the airport to go up to Chicago. And I was like, I'll see you there in a couple days.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get back here, have like a couple
weeks. It was like Christmas.
Yeah, a couple weeks. And then I left to go to New Zealand because in New Zealand was World Cup, Women's World Cup last year. And then things were going really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're balling.
You're balling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was playing really, really well.
Probably the best of your career.
Yeah. And then, boom.
Yeah.
What day did that happen? Like, what was the date?
Of what?
Your injury.
April 8th.
April 8th?
Yeah.
Saturday?
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right before the World Cup.
Yeah.
About, what, 4 months before? Three and a half.
Yeah.
Three and a half, 4 months before.
4 months before.
And
yeah,
for everybody that like doesn't fully understand, if you when you miss a World Cup year, it's essentially like you miss four years.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. it only happens every four. And how they build everything for like the national team is on a four-year cycle, right? Because it's World Cup, then Olympics. You know, so it's like this one whole big thing. And not to sound like too blunt about it, but like you only get so many opportunities, right? Mm-hmm. And so that being kind of just like
it's tough.
Yeah.
You like really robbed hard. Of that, you know?
I mean, if you have a 10-year career, it's only two World Cups.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's what I was going to ask too. For I think a lot of people don't understand kind of like the training schedule of like the women's team. So obviously most of you either play professionally here or across the pond. So with it being April, like, could you kind of dive a little bit into like how that kind of works with professional and then the national team? Because I feel like you guys get pulled a lot. And it's almost like playing professionally, talking about like college athletes opting out for the NFL, right when you're going to the World Cup, like that's kind of like a crucial time.
Yeah. It's definitely, I mean, I feel like when we first met, like I had to explain it to you.
Yeah, didn't understand.
We're going to get into all that too.
Yeah. And then I feel like I had to explain it to your parents.
Who are still figuring
it
out.
Yeah. So, shoot,
we're like a baseball family.
Yeah, yeah.
You guys don't play 162?
Yeah. No, oh my gosh, that'd be awful. But basically, like with women's soccer, we play year round. And with the league at here, it's called the NWSL, for those that don't know. There's now 16 teams. I play in Chicago. I went to Chicago, got traded to Chicago in 2021. Mm-hmm. So I've been there for 3 years. And so there's 16 teams play in Chicago. And then with that, you are basically on the national team too. Like you're representing your country. And this is like, that's like international. So basically there's these things called FIFA dates. And that's when, if you get called up to the national team, that's when you leave your club team and go represent your country in the FIFA dates. And so leading up to the World Cup, it was January, February, what she believes. And then April was a FIFA date when I was playing with the national team in Austin. And then that's when I got hurt.
And what exactly did you do for those that don't know?
I tore my patellar tendon.
Pop. Even before that.
Yeah.
The head. The head one, head injury.
Well, yeah,
in the same game.
Literally that same game.
Yeah.
Dude, you were in the trenches, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. Going into that game, like I felt really good. I feel like I was playing the best that I was playing in my career. And like 10 minutes before I hurt my knee, I like got shoved, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
Into
remember watching the goalkeeper.
And you were full steam ahead.
Yeah, like I was like trying to
score. You were booking.
Yeah. I mean,
it was full speed, full all out sprint.
And then basically got in a collision with the goalkeeper. My neck and stuff was like all messed up. But like I just had to like take a moment and then
you were good though.
Yeah.
Like you can't, I didn't think moment.
Yeah.
I was like, bro.
Well, so when we were watching it, I was getting ready for a game because we had a day game that day. So they were playing, or we were playing at like 4 o'clock that day because like I think we were on Fox or something. And y'all's game was at like 1 or 2.
Yeah.
And I was getting ready and saw you take the hard fall and everything and
crash.
Yeah, like, and I know how tough you are, so when you like were laying down,
yeah, not like immediately
not doing
back
well
up.
I was about ready to fight somebody, you know, and then I see you come back into the game and I'm like, okay, things are good. I'm down hitting like in the tunnel before the game and someone came down and was like, do you see what happened? And I was like, yeah, like her like collision literally. And they were like, no, like she's getting carted off. And dude,
and that was what, like right before the half, right?
Yeah,
like which literally is like, right before the half.
Yeah, we always like, I told Dansby, I was like, this whole like rehab process, I was never gonna play like the what if game, you know, because like you can just spiral down if you play that game. So I was like, I'm not gonna say like what if like I just went out of the game. Like, what if I could kept playing 5 more minutes, or what if I didn't get that pass, you know?
A couple less extra time minutes.
Exactly.
Like literally.
Just crazy.
Well, I feel like that's something we established early on in that whole process was like, listen, God says that like, He doesn't say to not get frustrated, not be upset. So, you know, like we're allowed to feel all those things. He only calls us to not lose faith. And so we established that. And then the second thing would be like, we're not playing any what if game.
Like, his timing's never
wrong.
And
it's like, yeah. I feel like super easy to get into that mode when obviously with that injury, you can't do anything. You're just sitting there
literally
thinking all day.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I also feel like the what, like, thankfully you guys like foundations, you know, your foundation is him. And so I think that for a lot of people, when something bad happens to them, like I think about this all the time when I hit a red light, I'm like, gosh, like why? Like Windy Hill Road, dude, I get worn out on red lights. I hit everyone. And I'm always like, I'm like, why did I hit this red light? But then I'm thinking, well, it's because I'm supposed to.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So exactly. It's the same. That's okay. Thing. But it's very frustrating at the time because you were playing so well. You were getting ready to have like this huge, God bless you.
Bless you. Bless you, brother. Appreciate
this
that.
Huge like breakout and then boom.
Right. Boom. It happened.
Yeah. So dive a little bit deeper into that part though. Just like taking us through what was going on in your head after you find out kind of like the news about what it actually is. Because knowing you, you thought you were going to
bounce right back.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She, no. Like, I was like,
I'm straight.
No, yeah. I literally was like, I will be at the World Cup and contribute.
And I'm going to be
normally
10 balling. Minutes. Well, not normally, but like, I was like, I can but probably I'll be play there. Like 10 I'll minutes. Be there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I like text my PT that I was like, look, like, you got to get, like, we're going to get back like 4 months. Like, no one's ever going to see this. And then things really took a turn. It
didn't happen that way.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, so like walk us through that though. Just like that journey of.
Well, I think two things really like stand out when I look back at it. It was that like I was like, I'm determined to like get back, even if it was going to be in 4 months, which looking back at it, that's actually crazy. Like crazy. Yeah, so I think I was like, not there. Everyone's like, yeah.
Gotta get on that Aaron Rodgers pack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're not going to tell you no, but
yeah, we can try.
They're like, yeah, absolutely. Then you leave and they're like, mm-mm.
Yeah.
As soon as she left, she's like,
they're like, right.
Yeah.
That is not happening.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And then I remember I told Dansby, I was like, was it before I got surgery? I was like, whenever like I meet God one day, like I want him to look at me and tell me that like I'm proud of how you handled that situation.
Like, well done, my child.
Yeah. And so I think through
That made me cry so much when you said that. I'll never forget that.
So but like that was 2 days after a day before I got surgery that I said that, and like something just kind of came over me when I said that. And ever since then, and kind of like having that perspective, I've kept that, and I feel like that's helped me like handle this situation.
Yeah, like what do you feel? I mean, I know we've talked about this a good bit, and we obviously live it on a day-to-day basis, but the like just kind of explain like what did you feel like God was doing through you like throughout this whole process? Because it's been a long road, and we haven't even covered like everything else that's happened, but just such
I know,
a disappointment. And
maybe we should.
Okay, so.
You
got surgery on April 11th, I believe?
Yeah, I got surgery on April 11th. And then things really took a turn for the worse. I think a week after that surgery, I like woke up from a nap. And like after surgery, like you don't feel great. Like you're on pain meds and all, the whole thing. But I woke up from a nap and I like had a really bad fever and I was like, huh, interesting. So I texted one of my friends who's had knee surgeries and I texted her. I was like, hey, have you ever like had a fever after your surgery? And she's like, no. And so then I kind of like was like, huh, something's really wrong. And then.
Yeah, well, you have such an innate like ability to know your, like, you know.
Yeah.
You should have that like kind of like sixth sense, like you know things.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, long story short, without going into too many of the details, 10 days after the first surgery, I had to go in to get another surgery because I had an infection in my knee. that basically was like septic joint.
Mm-hmm.
It like got inside of my joint. And for those that don't know, like you're where you tear your patellar tendon, it's on the outside of your joint. So it's not the inside. So I don't really know how that happened, but it did. So yeah, I had surgery again with the infection. And I mean,
two major surgeries, like 10 days apart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Was the second surgery like a call when you were like, okay, maybe this 4 month thing is not happening.
That's exactly what it was. So it was like,
trying to God accept was like it at really that point. Like, yeah.
Pause. Yeah. But yeah, that was like the worst thing ever.
Cause
that
then
was like, yeah.
Cause then awful. After you had to.
Yeah. Be after on, I had a PICC line and, or a mid PICC line, same thing. And I was on like IV antibiotics.
We were administering our own antibiotics like through the, it's like a permanent IV essentially for 5 weeks or whatever. Like learning the process of getting stuff in a bag. And it was.
Because at that point it was like, I honestly like thought to myself, I was like, I could care less about my knee. Like my, I felt so sick. Just
everywhere.
Yeah. Like it was like. Thank goodness it like didn't like, thank goodness I like caught it when I did, because
it would have only gotten worse.
It could have gotten really bad.
It was not great.
It was not.
It was not great.
Yeah. It was pretty bad.
Yeah. It was not great. And then, you know, things start getting a little bit better just in terms of all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then if you want to go into it, I mean, rehab's going a lot better and then the World Cup starts.
Yeah.
And you didn't make the trip.
I did not make the trip to New Zealand.
Yeah, if it was like maybe anywhere else.
Yeah, maybe.
Like besides like a 2 day flight. Like
LA.
Yeah. Like.
Yeah, but World Cup starts. Obviously like super hard just to like be at home and watching when you're like, dang, I should have been there.
I should be there.
But also like, I feel like I kind of like accepted that. I was like, this
by that point.
Yeah. I was like, I can't do anything. Right. Like,
it's out of your control.
Yeah. It's out of my control. And I think that's another thing that God's like really taught me is like, I literally could not do anything. Like that happened. And so I was just trying to support my girls.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually like gave us time to be able to be in Chicago together. Which I think, looking back at it, I think worked out really well.
Mm-hmm.
Like me, geez, Bentley.
Dude, she's tired. Yeah.
But this is an interesting point because it's kind of like you personally are going to get ready to have like one of your biggest moments of your career. Yeah. But then God shuts that door, which then allows time that y'all never really probably got for your marriage, which is obviously greater than any sport that either of you play.
Yeah.
No. So it's kind of like he was saying, hey, I'm going to hold this for a second, but I'm going to give you this gift of time, which is like the most valuable thing anybody can have.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think sometimes we get, it's such a balancing act of like, we're going to sit here and be like, God caused her injury. You know, when you start talking about like, did he make, or did he shut this door? And what I feel like I've found is that God is so like beautiful and brilliant that he can take anything and like turn it to his glory and his goodness. And like only he can take something so crappy and mold it and shape it into something so beautiful. And we've even talked about like, okay, we got more time together. It was the first time in our lives really that we've been able to experience something like that together. And it was our first year of marriage. But on top of that, like we may not
change for
for
y'all in general.
Yeah, I mean a move, you know, a different team.
You were going through a lot, figuring out marriage, like
away from family and friends for the first time. Like we're having to figure out life, which to me is one of the best things about the whole process. Was we had to figure it out, me and her together. Like we didn't have y'all to call on and say, "Come over and do this," or we didn't have mom and dad down the street to just. Like we had to figure it out ourselves, And I feel like that just really like fortified our bond and love for one another. Cause it's a choice, right? Like we talk about like love's a choice and every day we were choosing each other.
Yeah. Mostly you were taking care of me.
That's all right. Dance
Me literally, 162. When I was going into my second surgery, I was like in so much pain and Dance Me's like waiting. My dad and my aunt, cause my mom was just there taking like,
she couldn't like take more time off work.
So my mom went home. Then my dad came back or my dad came and my aunt came.
And my dad was there actually too.
Well, and then your dad was there.
Working in shifts.
Yeah. Yeah. But basically I will never forget Dansby.
Took you to the.
Yeah. I was like, we went to the hospital, did the whole thing. And we were like waiting for, I don't know what we were waiting for.
We were waiting for them to like fully administer you to be able to do the surgery.
Yeah. Cause like this was like something like.
It was like an emergency,
yeah,
really.
Yeah. It was like something that like really had to go through. Doctors were like trying to come in and everything. And Dansby's like waiting there. My dad's flying in, aunt's flying in. And it's like,
I had a game at one.
Yeah, he had a game at one. This is like,
we had gotten there at like 7, 6:30 or 7
in the morning. And we're waiting.
I had to wait for her dad and aunt to get there.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't just leave her at the hospital.
Because I'd
be like,
I was like, I'm sorry, like you cannot leave me. I was in so much pain.
Yeah.
Oh, and felt awful.
And the tough part too is because she like, because the pain was so bad and it was in her joint, she needed like actually the heavy duty pain pills like to get by. And we didn't bring any because we were like, we're going to the hospital. Well, they're like, well, you're not. They're not checked in and administered, so we can't just give you.
And what's crazy is
these, you know, this like medication or in your IV,
they probably wouldn't let you take those either. No, because they're like, oh, we don't. That's how I was like for Lexi. They're like, oh yeah, like these are your own that a doctor here prescribed you last week. Like you can't take those. Like we have to give them to you, so we know what we're giving to you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was like, what?
I was like, literally, like, give me something right now.
Yeah. I thought we were about to fight this.
Anyways, besides that. Dansby's literally like has a game at one. It is. What time did you leave the hospital?
Maybe like 11, 10:30, 11.
Yeah. He has a big league game at one.
Yeah. What I drove, 97.
I drove us that morning.
An hour.
I drove us that morning. And then I basically left my car there with my keys for her dad and aunt and my dad or whatever to be able to do whatever they needed to do. So I had our traveling secretary, VJ, he had a driver come pick me up.
The man.
Yeah.
The man, the goat. Pick me up and take me back to Wrigley. And the Cubs were great about it. They were like, if you need the day off, dude, just like, let us know. Like, we get it.
But of course, like, he's like, no.
Yeah, he's like, I got a ball. Baseball. I got a ball with my bros.
I don't. Days okay, off, that, we don't
that leads
do that.
Me to a question. How, when all of this is going on, you're on a new team, new city, just getting started in the season, essentially. How do you compartmentalize that going on? And then you're expected to go out there and play your best game.
I think the toughest part was at that point in the season, because it was so early, I didn't have a close enough bond with anyone on the team to be able to like actually talk through those things with. And I mean, people were good and they'd ask me how I was doing. And
hold on.
Yeah. So I didn't have like a close enough bond with anyone on the team yet to be able to like actually really open up with and be vulnerable with about what was going on. Because I mean, if you look at just even my performance during that time, it was not good. And, you know,
which I thought it was.
Yeah. Matt's like, you're doing great.
I was like, good job.
This is all right. This is a really funny story.
No, we're not telling it. No.
Why?
I don't want to.
Why?
No. You can't do that to the people.
Not on. We can tell them, but not.
It's just us here.
Yeah. No. Dude, it's just us. No, we're not.
Do it.
Okay. No.
All right. There was a funny story that happened, but.
They know it.
We'll plug it at the end. We'll plug it at the end.
After the credits.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I didn't really have anyone to talk to. Couldn't really talk with her about it because of just her situation. Like when I left the field, that needed to be left behind. which is where the funny story comes in, but that needed to be left behind. And I was like in full husband nurse mode for a long time.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was just really, really difficult. Like I didn't have really any outlet. The only outlet I had was the field. But the challenging part of that was I wouldn't say I'm like, I get there super early every day. I feel like I kind of get there where I don't have to rush, but I'm not like the, you know, games at 7, I'm there at, you know, noon, from noon to just 11:30. Like, that's just not really my thing. But because of her situation and things that she couldn't do on her own, and when we didn't have as much help, I'd have to stay at home for
like most of
it. So like it was very minimal time at the field. So I didn't necessarily ever, I had to learn how to maximize my time at the field of like getting
your work done.
Yeah.
Prepped
and ready, yeah. So that was, I would say that was like one of the biggest challenges, was not fully having like the friendships that I had obviously developed because of just time and just performance, because I wasn't able to fully like make sure I could get all my stuff done. Now, would I trade it for anything? Like, obviously no, because I feel like this grew our marriage more than anything we could have ever imagined.
You hid for
like a year in, you know what I mean? But yeah, so it was, I mean, it was so hard. Mm-hmm. It really was, but wouldn't trade it for anything.
Mm-mm.
Made us better.
Yeah. It was pretty rough. 2023 was not fun.
The beginning. And then
the beginning was great. And then it literally turned around. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. It was so bad, but so good.
Mm-hmm.
Because God's so good.
Amen. And we, I mean, I feel like one thing that we would remind each other of all the time is that passage in James where it's like,
mm-hmm.
consider it a joy when you go through various mm-hmm. trials, because that produces endurance, and endurance, you know, produces character. I don't want to botch the full verse, but basically like, you're blessed when you go through those things because it shapes you and mm-hmm. helps mold you into becoming a better person. And so that, just to get back to a little bit what we talked about or what we were touching on earlier, is just where and what do you feel like God kind of like led you to this year, and how did he, like, what was he speaking to you going through this past year?
Was there like a word that you mm-hmm. kind of found yourself like going back to?
I feel like every year, like there's always been like some type of challenge, but this past year, I feel like as much as I want to answer this question, I feel like, it's not done yet. Mm. Like what God was mm-hmm. doing in that, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe like come back to me and like
next,
when it's done.
Yeah. Next mm-hmm. interview, we'll yeah. be ready.
That's kind of what.
Okay. So rehab's going good.
Yeah.
We're on track for mm-hmm. you leave what? End of January to get like back.
Yeah.
January 21st, I think.
Mm-hmm. Right?
And is that national team or Chicago?
Chicago.
Which, exciting news about Chicago.
Yeah. One of my club coaches from youth in Colorado is now my coach.
Oh, like the Chicago head coach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's sick.
Yeah.
Big come
he's
up.
One of the, like, he's developed a lot of great players. He's yeah. awesome. He's a Jamaican dude. He's freaking awesome.
Yeah, he's great.
He was the Jamaican women's team coach okay. and got them the furthest they've ever been in a World Cup this past year. So mm-hmm. just awesome human and yeah. always smiling. And
yeah.
So
he's great.
That's exciting.
Yeah, that'll be exciting. And then
what's some of your like thoughts and feelings and emotions as that date kind of creeps closer and closer? Obviously, you're excited, but what else is kind of going through
like
your brain?
The January 22nd date? Mm. Yeah. I feel like, okay, I'm going to be completely honest here.
Well, that's what we do. It's the express, baby.
I Come know. Express but yourself. I feel like every time
be Doug.
off season ends, like you're kind of dread, because it is so short, especially in soccer. Like it's like we end in November and we basically have 6 weeks off. And so like you get in like a rhythm of like being home, seeing friends, seeing family, like the holidays, all of it, and like you're kind of like dreading going back. At least I have in the past. And then once you're in it, you're like,
yeah, you get dialed in.
The best job ever. But I have been out of it forever, so I'm very excited to go back and like just to be in an environment that's like, I can't believe I'm saying this, but like scheduled and controlled.
routine.
Yeah, like a routine of like playing again. And also like seeing, because like when you're injured, you're like not really with the team.
Right.
And so to like actually be with the team and my friends on the team and build new relationships, because that Red Stars team is going to be a lot different this year because we have a lot of people that have left. And we have a new owner.
New owner.
Yeah. So like just kind of like starting new.
Well, like overhaul. Yeah. Yeah. Which is good though. It was needed. I feel like just where the organization was at.
Yeah.
I guess. And one more, a little bit more on the serious note, then we can get to some whatever fun questions y'all come up with.
Ready.
We've talked a lot about this, and wanted to touch on this in the podcast was just the importance, and you just referred to it as the importance of having good people around you, like a good community of people.
Yeah.
You just want to touch on like the different people in your life that have made a difference, especially in a year that we just went through. And just kind of, I know you're such a family oriented person, like what all that means for you and does for you.
Yeah. I think, I mean, the first thing I think about when I think about like community is God put us on this earth not to be alone. And
facts.
Yeah. I think it's so important that you do surround yourself with people who are good people, you know, and value the same things. And I think for me, I've always said, like, even before I got injured, like I wouldn't be where I was if it weren't for my family and my friends.
And husband.
You're my family.
Yeah, but he wanted
and
his own.
And her husband's friends.
It would have been like if it wasn't for Dansby.
Right.
If it honestly only Dansby.
Right. Yeah. If it wasn't for this guy.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
But no, really, I feel like it just like makes, I don't know, it just like makes me go. My family, my friends, my teammates, coaches, I don't know. Just like
chaplain.
Chaplain.
Yeah.
My Bible study group. We
like say this with Dansby too, just like I feel like y'all are similar in this, is like your friends, like your core group of friends, kind of like our little squad.
Yeah.
Like y'all have been friends for so long.
Right.
And like, it's just, again, kind of like when Dansby was talking about being in Chicago, no one having that, like, can be vulnerable with. It's like, y'all both have that with such core lifelong friends.
Right. And I feel like that is like such a blessing. But also like we've tried to like make new friends, you know, and
but here we are.
Yeah, but here we are. No, we've been good. Yeah.
And we do have a good group of people like in Chicago our teams and stuff.
They're great. That
are awesome. And like,
yeah,
Chicago really is such an easy city to do fun stuff in.
Yeah.
So that helps. Just like, it's so much easier to honestly grab dinner in Chicago because like everyone's kind of 10 to 15 minutes away from
your schedule.
Yeah.
Yeah, your schedule.
With the day games and stuff, like boats and dinners or whatever, like that makes it a lot easier. So we've been better. We tend to revert, and y'all know this.
Yeah.
We tend to revert to like
some homebodiness.
Yeah. Like, we went to dinner last night. We kept looking at each other.
This is exhausting.
No, we literally were looking at each other. We're so tired.
I'm like, I'm so tired.
Like, do we even want to go? It's like, we need to get out of the house.
At least
do something together fun.
Yeah.
But
I feel like a lot more people, like athletes in Chicago, are like out and about. Like when we were there, I mean, how many Cubs dudes did we see at that restaurant?
Oh, yeah.
At where?
Where did we go eat at?
Did you guys go to Ava?
No.
No, Trivoli.
Oh, Trivoli. Yeah,
we went to
Trivoli.
We saw five or six.
I know.
Place is good.
It's so good.
It's so good.
But we saw like five or six. I feel like we never saw that many.
Well, it's because everyone goes.
Maybe they're like the same spot.
Yeah, like it's just, it's easier to like congregate because mm-hmm. all the restaurants are kind of in the same little area and
yeah.
places. I don't know. Just think location wise. Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. I enjoyed it up there.
Yeah.
Cool city in the summer.
Yeah, well, it gets a little chilly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a little chilly.
Yeah, that opening day, that opening weekend when we came up.
It was pretty cold.
And then it worked out perfectly because Mal had a home game too.
Yeah.
And so we went, I think Friday, Dansby's, mm-hmm. Saturday, Mal's, mm-hmm. Sunday back to Dansby's.
Mm-hmm.
But that Saturday game at Mal's, it was literally sleeting.
Yeah. It was like awful.
Yeah.
Mid-March.
Yeah. I was like, do not come.
Dude.
Don't come.
It's not weather for Mitch.
Yeah.
No, I don't. I do not thrive in the
below 50.
Yeah, it's like 40 something outside.
Anything I think below 6'2" for you is.
Yeah, I'm out.
Yeah, you don't like it.
Yeah, I'm out.
All right, so.
But for my friends, I'll.
You'll do it.
I'll moving on to funnier things.
Let it eat, big fella.
I mean, I don't know. I was going to ask, what do I do that annoys you the most?
You can pull
put a brother on blast.
You can pull out your phone on your notes. Your notes. I'm sure you got it all written down.
It's okay to make fun of me.
Yeah, we do it.
They do it all
constantly.
The time.
Constantly.
I don't know.
Yes, you do.
Oh,
you're such. When we said that, you had one thing immediately pop in your brain, and then you said, I don't want to say that on the podcast.
Yeah, I don't.
She's like, I'm trying to be nice.
Say it.
She's like, we're only 1 year in.
Yeah.
Maybe this is forever.
No, sometimes.
Yeah, that's a max year, max contract. Yeah.
What did Dansby's friends do that annoy you?
Sometimes you're just a little too much.
Like, go on.
Like, just like, I mean, read the room. Read my energy.
Yeah, I'm trying to boost
Mal's
it.
Mal's just trying to chill and Dave's just bouncing off the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On go.
Yeah. Well, you know, and you know, like, I'm much more of a night person too. Like, I, for whatever reason, that's when I think it's from playing so many
night games. Dude, you're just
like, it'll hit a certain point and Mal's just like all like literally like cozied up or watching something or something's on the TV or she wants to be left alone like on her phone and like I just get like I just get like the crazy eyes. It's like
he really
my energy like, just goes
the human zoomies.
Literally.
But of course it's always probably when Mal's like trying to literally just chill.
Yeah. Yeah, or like I'm tired or just.
Well, she like gets up and goes pretty good. Like when the morning starts, your boy takes a while.
Yeah.
Takes a couple hours.
The engine's got to get turning.
Yeah.
It's shocking, honestly. It is.
Yeah.
Not until he gets that breakfast and coffee.
Yeah. I can't operate without breakfast, dude. I tried once this week and it was kind of one of those days where you're like, I just need to try again tomorrow.
It's just off.
Yeah.
It was very off.
Yeah. Mal was like, anybody in there? I'm like, I think. I don't know. But I got another funny one.
Okay.
I want to hear from your perspective.
Oh, gosh.
The first time we met.
Mm-hmm.
And then.
The first time.
The first time. Yeah, with Shayna.
Okay.
And then, obviously, the second time.
At the wedding?
Yeah. Because your boy put that. Charisma on her.
Oh my god.
Here we go, bro.
Okay, so the first time.
Go back to the annoying comment.
Exactly. There you go. Another.
Yep, let's just add this.
The first time we met was with our friend Shayna.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Shayna were teammates in DC, and Dansby and Shayna knew each other from.
She went to Vanderbilt for a year. She's from Atlanta. We were homies. She wanted to come to. The game
yeah.
brought Mal.
Well, she basically was like, oh, your brother-in-law plays on the Braves.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
absolute brother, Dansby, also plays for the
Braves. Mm-hmm. So we were like, great, let's go to, and this is like the one of the first weeks I just turned professional too. Like I just left UCLA
mm-hmm.
and was in DC playing. And so I was like, yeah, sure, I'll go to a game. And then met Dansby under the tunnel.
Mm-hmm. After the game.
After the game. And I thought you were funny. And that's like pretty much it.
Did he bust some jokes out?
Or what did he just say?
Like, I honestly like don't remember. But
I was just being my.
He was chopping it up.
I was just being. Yeah, you were in a boot.
I was in a bag.
Because I sprained the crap out of my ankle.
That boy was in his bag under the tunnel.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, I got a good, okay. So yeah, we met then.
She's like, oh, and then, I don't want to tell the funny story about me, but I'm a bust this one of you. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, no, this is how we met. And me and Shayna are driving back home. Mm-hmm. And Dansby texts Shayna with the
eyes. Okay.
Yeah. And I was
listen, that's not how I remember it. Okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we'll get to you in a second.
Mal, keep going.
And I was like, I'm not like really like looking for anything right now.
Okay, not my type.
Not you, yeah. Aka not Dansby per se.
Not yet.
Yeah.
And then
gotta wait for that second encounter. Yeah.
And then,
well, what was funny though about that was Shayna, after I texted her that, was like, I'm telling you, I think y'all two would actually be really good for each other. And Jace, our brother-in-law,
shout out,
had been saying the same thing too, like just personality wise, they people saw it as like a fit
because he knew Mal for
he's known Mal for
a long time at that point,
literally. I mean, at that point,
a long time. I was in high
six
school,
6 or 7 years, And Shayna, just from playing with you.
Right.
And knowing me.
And already
me,
knowing you.
Kind of feeling like that would be a good match. Which is kind of funny because I'm like sitting there like, oh, boy, you know.
Oh, my.
You know. And then and Mal's over there like, this guy's literally like.
I was like, not about it.
It's not it.
I really wasn't.
He's not that
funny. And then.
The wedding rolls around.
No. Before that, remember you guys came back to DC.
Oh, yeah. This is funny.
And
we all know it was a rough year for me. Rookie year.
That was 20.
Oh, that was rookie year.
Yeah.
We were in the trenches.
Rookie year, dude. We were grinding.
Yeah.
So my mom came and visited me and we went to a game because not because of you, but because
she's like, I want that
Jace.
To be known.
I want that to be very clear.
The eye emojis didn't work off rips.
Yeah. Because of Jace. And we went back to the team hotel because we were going to go get dinner with Jace after.
Not my best moment.
And Dansby, me and my mom were like sitting. I like vividly remember this. We were like sitting on the bench at the hotel and you.
The team bus got back.
Yeah, the team bus got back. I think Jace. Did Jace walk in? I don't know.
Jace walked in and said, hey, Matt Kemp.
Yeah.
Walked in and said, hey.
Yep.
Your boy?
Right on by. Didn't even say hi.
You weren't your type. How was the field performance that day?
Not
terrible.
Good.
Yeah. So that's bad.
It was really bad. And I walked by and Kemp was like, hey, Dan's like, this is, and I'm pretty sure I did the whole like, yeah, I know. Like kind of like, didn't you, I? I'm pretty sure I did like the like, kind of like the
salute,
like the like somewhat courtesy, but like, not my best. Just like, yeah. What's up?
My feelings.
My boy is playing hard to get.
Facts.
That's all it was.
That's, if she's gonna play that way, your boy's gonna play that way too.
Come on, he's playing the game.
So then,
no, I was like, boys,
Euro step in.
Yeah, she's like,
I don't think I really didn't even think about it. No, I was like, whatever.
And then
the wedding
sparks. At the wedding.
Yeah,
love was in the air.
It was.
Love was in the air.
Yeah.
Whose wedding?
My sister's wedding.
Jace, yeah. Bree and Jace.
My sister's wedding, like in November of that year.
Mm-hmm.
And
I don't know what I did. I think God just lined us up.
I really do.
Yeah.
That and.
But anywho. Uh-oh, is Bentley making an appearance?
Miss B.
That's how we met.
Yeah.
And the rest is history.
Do we want to talk about the first time we met?
Yeah.
Yeah, story time. Go.
Okay, so Dansby invited Miss Mallory out to... Okay, so...
Left her.
Before... When Dansby's rookie year, was it?
This was 2018, second year.
The next year. Regardless, we were all living together, me, Dansby, and then two of our other best friends. So a house of four dudes.
And for a house.
Yeah, it was a
bachelor pad.
It was a great time.
Yeah.
And then, so Mal comes to visit Dansby, but it's one of those, like she flew in super late. We wake up, we knew she was there, and then like Danzy's like, all right, well, I'm going to the field. I gotta go to the field. So y'all entertain her, I guess.
Yeah.
And
yeah, here's my girlfriend. Yeah. Have fun.
Are you dating?
I don't even know
yeah.
yet.
Yeah, yeah. Were you dating? Yeah.
It was early days though.
No, this
early
was days. Like you didn't come to Atlanta till like June. It was summer.
Okay.
Anyways, our friends are outrageous, so she had a great time, I already know.
Oh, it was so
outrageous. But anyways, so we're like just kicking it, and then we're like, all right, I guess we're gonna Uber to this game. And so we're going in, and we're just doing our normal thing. Obviously, we went to a lot of Braves games, so we kind of had our routine for the homies. And so we're walking into this bar, and we get in. It's crowded.
A lot of
stuff going on. Mal's not the biggest person, so we might have got lost in the shuffle. And we get in, and we're like looking around. We're like,
where's Mal?
Oh, crap. Where's
Mal? We lost her all. We have one job.
Like, oh, no, dude. Like, Danzy's going to be so pissed.
Danzy's going to be so mad.
We lost Mal on her literal first adventure with us in Atlanta. And so then we like go back outside, and we find her, and we're like, Mal, what happened? She goes, I'm not 21 yet. I can't even get in the bar. We're like, oh no, we didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
We got her in though. And?
Yeah.
That was a funny day because obviously we're at the game. My parents were actually at that game. So I went down to see my parents or whatever. And then there was some little kid, like little young. He's probably like 5 or 6. Younger than that, maybe like 4 or 5. And he had on a Swanson jersey. And I was like, hey, man, I like your jersey, you know, whatever. And he was like a sweet little kid. And so Dansby did his usual, go out to the line, get loose, whatever. So I was like, you know what? Come with me, young lad. I'm about to make your day. So walk down there. And it's always incredible. Now, I am a large human being. But when I walk down there.
We wouldn't have lost Mason.
Yeah.
No. I am like the meeting point. Like, yeah. Meet up with this guy.
You see that guy?
Meet up with him. Yeah. So I walk down to the field or whatever, and I'm like, yo, Dance. And so Dansby sees me, whatever, walks over. So I introduce this little kid to him. He signs a ball for him. And then he's like, hey, where's Mal? And I was like,
last time I saw her, she was standing outside some bar.
I was like, you're not going to like this, but Mitchell's on duty right now.
So they're having a great time.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, so I'm going to go back to her now and Mitch and, you know, whatever. And he's like, oh, I want you to give her something. And so he brings me like into the dugout, which at this time, now everyone knows like that we're not like some random
people. You're plugged in. Mm-hmm. You're plugged in.
And so he gets a baseball.
I remember this.
And he writes on the baseball, like, he's like, I want you to hand this to her. He's like, you're not going to think it's funny, but just tell me her reaction later. I was like, all right. So he said, I think you wrote like, follow me on Twitter, and then put your Twitter line or whatever. And then he's like, go give this to her. And then when I exited the dugout, everyone's looking at me like,
Who's this cat?
Yeah.
Why do you have that baseball? Yeah. Like, what's going on? And then I pretty much gave it to Mal, and it was like the most anticlimactic reaction. I was like, hey, Dancer wanted me to give you this. And I thought like,
it was
gonna
like some super inside.
Yeah,
like,
she's going to be like, oh my God. Like, whatever.
Oh, and she looks like at this. It. Did she do this?
She looked at it. She goes,
okay,
he's an idiot.
Probably like threw it back.
Yeah, she's like, I got a ball.
It's like,
anybody want a ball?
Got a ball.
Anybody want a ball? $5. $5.
Got a ball.
No, that sounds about right.
Yep. That sounds exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember when? Oh, I don't know if I can. No,
we can
we'll
always
tell
cut
the story.
It.
We'll tell the story. This does not have to do with Mal. It's a little off task, but this is
this doesn't?
No.
Oh.
Well, actually, you might have been at that game, No, you weren't, because you would have picked him up. We were doing some All Things Low stuff, needed Dansby, dropped him off at work.
Oh.
And then and we were going to come and pick you up from work, like parents do.
From work.
I think I remember this.
Yeah. And
hearing about this.
First funny part
was going on though.
They went to extras, so we show up at the.
But everyone was at our house because we were
because the partying. Game was supposed to be over.
Yeah, it was. We went to extras.
It went to like 15-16 innings.
Uh-huh. But I feel like we had like a party.
And somehow
or something
y'all got
at the
in
house.
The y'all got in the parking deck, which well, I think y'all's names are on the list.
We were
we were in your truck as well.
No, we weren't. We were in my Chevy, which is hilarious because we're in the Chevy parked next to, you know, all these luxury vehicles in Dansby's spot, which is hilarious. Mitch and I are sitting there listening to the game on the radio, like three innings.
We get there at what, like the eighth?
Eighth inning. Like, all right, if it goes to the 11th, we're just going to walk in. And so, sure enough, goes to the 11th. So Mitch and I go to get on the elevator. Well, we didn't realize that you had to have a key to operate the elevator. So you were able to get in the elevator, but then once in the elevator, cannot operate. Mm-hmm.
So
we were in the elevator for a while.
It just started going.
And then when it opens, it's like the executive level.
It
goes to the
top floor and it opens up and it's like
all these guys in suits and everything. And we're like,
You're like, you are not supposed to be
here. But then it drops us into like the infinity level. And we're like, this isn't half bad.
Yeah.
Never been up here.
Let's get a Bev. And then I think the game went to 15 innings. Mm-hmm.
Then we drove you home.
And then we went home.
That's the worst.
Hey, free tickets. Just for picking me up.
We almost caught a full game and got there in the eighth inning.
Yeah, we did not anticipate this happening. So, also another funny story of the first time I was introduced to Mal. Well, not introduced to you, but the first time I'd like heard your name from Dansby. If anybody knows me, I'm not one to shy away from a cookie cake. Mm. And you sent him a cookie cake for his birthday.
Oh, yeah.
And we were sitting there and Dansby's eating his little to-go meal of chicken and whatever else the Braves gave him. And he's like, hey, check this out. Knowing I would appreciate it, shows me cookie cake. And I was like, Mitchell, buy you this?
I will have another.
And he was like, no.
Mal did.
And I was like, what?
Oh, that was like early on.
Oh, yeah.
This was like.
We're talking February. Early days.
I don't even think we had like started truly dating yet. Or at least she hadn't agreed. I was dating her. I don't know if she had agreed to like start dating her.
I don't know.
I mean, if we're being honest. Deal. Yeah,
that
I was.
Thought.
I was very.
Nice.
I was, you know. I was way more in love with her than she was with me very early on. But hey, convinced her. Look at us now.
I forget. Why is it called the Express?
That.
Didn't listen to the first episode.
Didn't listen to the first episode.
I think I did. Can you remind me?
Or the clip.
We even clipped it.
So we...
Not a true follower.
We were on the same all-star team growing up at Adams Park. And our team was called the Kansas Express.
We were nice too.
And real nice.
Yeah, and yeah. Nancy Swanson was the coach.
Nancy,
third base coach.
Yeah. I've said this my entire adult life is Nancy Swanson was like the most intimidating coach I ever played for. She was at third base, and if she hit you with one of these.
What does that mean?
3-0. No, you don't swing. Dansby gets 3-0 and he swings, I'm like, oh. Like, Nancy's going to tell me something about that.
Nancy's going to text me. she was about that life.
Yeah.
But hey, we were nasty.
We were
back-to-back state
champs. That roster is incredible. There's like...
Olympian.
Olympian. Mm-hmm. There's obviously you. There's us.
You're looking at best of Cobb County.
Cobb County best.
Champs.
Yeah.
Slow pitch softball.
Yeah. But there a lot of those guys, I think, played like high level. Like they definitely played like high school, but college. So it's kind of interesting in their respective sports.
Oh, we had a good team.
It's funny how that works.
Okay. So what are we going to ask?
Do you want me to ask that question about?
Yeah.
So my question was, it's already recorded, but my question was just your experience as a younger athlete is so different than 99.9% of athletes across the world, pretty much. So if you can kind of dive into like your process of not just getting noticed, but just how you got to where you are now, because you are still very young. And so a lot happened early for you.
Yeah, I am young.
25.
Pushing 26.
It's okay.
We're all old, just old.
I was half a decade.
Old has-beens.
Good. 30 in a month.
I know. For those that don't know, I left college early. Well, I didn't really go to college.
Yeah, I was about to say.
You never played a college soccer game?
No. I graduated high school in 2016. And then that fall is when college soccer season is. But instead of me going to college, I went to the U20 World Cup in Papua New Guinea. Which is a whole other conversation.
That'll be the next one.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy, that trip. But so I had all of us that were on that team had to defer And so I didn't go to UCLA until, well,
like spring, back up, essentially.
Yeah, until.
Explain a defer for those that don't know.
Basically, you
missed out on part of school.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Like you just like wait.
You delayed your time at being admitted basically into college.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I'm understanding.
Yeah. Well, back up 2016, that summer, went to the Olympics.
Which you were fresh out of, you just graduated high school.
Yeah, just graduated high school. Went to the Olympics and then went to the U20 World Cup. And so that whole time, that whole year was like super stressful for me because I was like, I really want to go to college. Like, I want to
experience college.
But also, like, I was just played in the Olympics and
she's goaded.
She's too good.
Yeah, she's goaded. Yeah.
Don't say that.
I'm just calling a spade a spade.
Yeah, that's okay. Facts. That's facts.
You
just graduated high school and you're playing in the college, Olympics.
You'd have been better than everybody.
All right,
else
we can fact check this, but I'm pretty positive she's the youngest girl in American history to score in the Olympics.
Is it Olympics or World Cup?
Yeah.
It's one of the two.
I think it's the Olympics. Probably,
well, Olympics if she just graduated high school.
Which is
I'm
going to
say that one.
Yeah. Okay, but neither here nor there.
Spade a spade.
Continue.
So I really wanted to go to school, college, do the whole experience, you know? And then, so that's what I did. I got there and UCLA is on quarter systems. Mm. So it's not semester. And so I did one quarter of college and basically was like, this is not for me. Yeah,
too much Mickey Mouse.
Yeah. It was, I was
study
like.
Study for what?
Yeah.
I need to be
and
cooking.
I did. I loved like going to class and I loved that
being
whole.
Being a student.
And like I loved being at UCLA. Like
easy access to friends, I feel like.
Yeah. It was literally great. But I like something deep down was like telling me that like I needed to challenge myself. And the only way that was going to happen was if I left. And that's what I did. And I literally remember leaving and telling my best friend, Annika, that I was like...
Happy birthday, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Happy birthday.
Shout out, Annika.
Leaving and was like... Because, like, you know, in college, like, people, like, that's usually where you, like, find your husband. And I literally, like, left college and I was like, I'm never going to find my husband. Like, I was, like, stressed about that. I was not stressed about, like, soccer or anything else. I was like...
Like, who am I going to... Where am I going to find my soulmate?
How's this going to happen?
Under the Nationals baseball tunnel.
Yeah. And then... But that's just, like... That just goes to show, like, how God kind of, like, works everything out.
Did you ever... Because at that time, you're so young. Did you ever put, like, super amounts of, like, pressure on yourself, obviously? I mean, we're looking at a Gatorade Player of the Year.
Yeah.
In high school.
Hey, you got the trophy back there.
I've seen it.
Yeah.
It's sick, too. But, like, with all these accolades and, like, literally going to the Olympics after you graduate high school, it's, like, obviously, like, you hear this girl is literally...
Your crown
that
is the
nice,
next,
bro. Well,
yeah, like, your crown is like the next.
Prodigy-esque
kind of she's word. The next Mia Hamm, or, you know, like people say. Yeah,
like already start the comparisons before you've even had a chance to, like, play.
Yeah. No, I for
so, like,
sure.
So, battling through that early, especially when you're 18 years old.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely, like, put a lot of pressure. But it wasn't pressure to be what those people were, like, labeling me as. It was, like, the pressure of, like, me wanting to perform at my best, which I think is far more than what those people were like labeling me as. And that's why I have like such a I don't know what the right word is, but like I get super defensive when people, like, you see young girls now coming up and they're being labeled as like the next blah blah blah, you know, because like I'm like, no, like those people are like completely different, you know, like let them be who they are and let them shine their light and be great at what they're doing. And why do we have to like label them as like the next this? Like they're their own person and they're their own player. And And I think there's so much talent coming up too. So that's exciting, but
I think some of the pressure too had to have come from like when that was what 2016 you said, yeah. right? The Olympic stuff, like coming into a team where you have like some of like the goats, like established goats, like obviously Alex was doing her thing. Mm-hmm. Carly was like in her heyday. Mm-hmm. Pino was like in her, then Tobin and Press and like all Julie Ertz, like, talk about like an established group of
a dominant group.
Yeah, a dominant group. And like coming into that, it's like, who's this little 18-year-old?
But I think why I was like, I honestly like think why I was like successful then was because I was literally just like, there was like pressures, but like I was literally just playing.
You could like be playing freely.
Yeah.
Like, it's like whatever happens.
Like, you weren't like the face of everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Mal, just go do your thing.
Yeah.
Like, just go have fun.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
You tell that to me all the time when I'm struggling. Stop trying so hard. Just go have fun.
It's not that
just
hard.
That's literally what I say. I'm like, just hit it, right? Yeah.
Or just hit it where someone's not.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah. Quit hitting it to them.
Yeah. There's so much space out there.
Yeah. Dude, that feels huge.
How'd you not swing it? That was right down the middle.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
It looked good from where I was sitting.
Yeah.
Why does he keep swinging at the balls in the dirt? It's unbelievable.
He must not get the point of this game. Yeah. I thought you were supposed to hit that. Huh.
The white ball, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
Oh, goodness.
No. And I in another pod, we'll like go through the full thing just because like her story is so fascinating and so inspiring for not only me, but just people, you know, like it really is such a unique story, and the fact that she's like so grounded and in her faith, and I mean, y'all obviously know her well, just like the things she cares about, like her heart's in the right place at all times, and it's pretty amazing just like seeing how she handled last year, where she's going, what she believes in. It's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I say this all the time when I talk about, well, really people ask me about you more than Mal's creeping up on you on the number of questions asked. But
I'm old now. I'm washed.
Yeah,
I know. Washed, yeah, the time's done, kid. But
we got a spot for you on the softball field whenever you're ready.
Whenever you're ready.
I would love to see that.
Mal's seen me play. You've never seen me play.
I know. I have. Been 2 years.
I'm nice, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's facts.
Lock and left.
Oh, yeah. Gold glove.
But no, with both of you, people always ask, you know, stereotypically, like, what do you guys like? And I always tell them the most amazing thing about you two is you have like the status, the fame, the money, whatever you want, but you both are still very like grounded. Like if you didn't have any of that, you'd be the exact same person. You just happen to have it. That's what I tell people, and I tell you this all the time, like how you handle yourself with just certain things and having patience with people, and I wouldn't be able to do that. And so it's kind
of dance phase patience.
I guess not.
No.
I definitely have patience.
No, I would say like, because you know, people come up to him.
I mean, it's like,
it's
just like we're eating dinner and people are coming up to him and he's like super,
he's nice about
welcoming. And
yeah, and that's, I feel like you'd get tired of, and I'm sure you do get tired of hearing your name and stuff like that. But you also, like, we've, you know, met other famous people, if you want to call them that. But if Mitchell and I were to see them outside without you guys, they may not treat us the same as if we were with you. And I don't think you guys operate like that. So I always tell people that's my like favorite part about you guys, is because people are people. It doesn't matter how much money you have or anything like that. So if you're a good human being, then you're a good human being. Not because you play for the Cubs or Yankees or whoever.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that just, I mean, without going too much into it, I feel like the way both of us were raised, I think that has a lot to do with it. And then what we value. And at the end of the day, it's to like serve God's kingdom and to wake up with that mentality every day.
Yeah. Well said.
Thanks. Preach.
Yeah. Mal got it on that one.
I think we out.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all I got.
Gang.
Coolio.
You're.
Thanks, Mallory.
Thank you.
To the Boneyard.
To the Boneyard. All right, after the credits, what's...